You're listening to the Greencast Advisory Podcast. I'm Glenn Kirby, the technical manager for Syngenta UK and Ireland, and here is where you'll find me talking about the content in my turf blog. They'll be short and to the point, so put on those headphones and have a listen to what I've got to say this time. Welcome to the Greencast Advisory Podcast on the March Frequently Asked Questions. Now, for those regular readers, you'll know that every month I put together a list of the frequently asked questions I've had for this month. And to be fair, March has been a fairly quiet one. There's been a lot going on out there. And as I scan Twitter looking for inspiration, honestly, I'm not procrastinating. I'm stunned by the high levels of presentation I'm seeing out there. I think some people are putting in some massive shifts this weekend, doing some last-minute prep for members, and the level of presentation is just fantastic, and it's a credit to all of you, and I'm sure your memberships will be incredibly appreciative of your efforts. The thing I find particularly interesting about it, though, is the levels of presentation, judging by the photos. It's just far in advance of what I'd expect to see at the end of March. If you have a look at the data, and in the blog I've pulled up a Growth Degree Day chart, just looking down here on the South Coast at how much weather we've had suitable for growth. And in my mind, using a base temperature of 6, when we get kind of 6 growth degree days, that's the period where we start to see some decent growth. And we haven't got anywhere close to that yet down on the South Coast. So I kind of look at it and think, how are you achieving this? Well, if you want some data like this as well, go onto the Greencast website and pull it off of the GED calculator. If you want to put it into a spreadsheet like I have, just copy and paste it and drop it in, and it's easily there. But how have we achieved it? How have we achieved all this stuff? Well, the first thing that I think is obvious is March has stayed very dry. And I predicted that in my dry down windows and the best time for wetting agents blog, which you can also find in here. We've definitely dried down and we've had a lack of golf traffic. And I think that the incredible high levels of play that you're getting on golf courses now really presents you a challenge, and seeing how sharp things are looking now just reminds me what a management challenge all of that golfing traffic is. Now, it's great news we're busy with golf. It's great news when you've got golfers out there, because it keeps the tills rolling. It means you've got a focus and a purpose for it. But do not ever underestimate, and this is what's come out of this for me, just what wear, damage and challenges winter golf presents when you don't have growth recovering from it. And you've had that break. We've had a dry month and we've had a lack of golf. So, you know, give yourself a pat on the back, but recognize in the future just the challenge of that. But when we start looking at the dry down, that was something I predicted in my last blog, but I'm no prophet. March is regularly the month where evapotranspiration begins to outcompete rainfall. And the balance in March generally starts to swing a little bit towards evapotranspiration winning over rainfall and starting to dry out a little. And every month it gets a bit more extreme from here on in. So March, you tend to dry out a little bit. April, you tend to dry out a bit more. May, you really start drying down, and then June, July is when you're in drought season. And that is the same pattern year on year on year. And I've been putting those graphs together now for the last 5 years or so. And every year it's pretty much there. Basically, it takes a very wet wet month in March in order to stop that pattern. So what else has been going on? Well, I've been talking to a lot of people this month who've been really struggling to find windows to get maintenance done. But the last couple of weeks when we've had those dry breaks, they've had the opportunity to get out there and do it. Now, I hope that they get an appropriate amount of rainfall and some temperatures to kick some recovery in for that and for the golfers that are getting back out. I have heard of people firing up some irrigation in the last few days, because it doesn't take long for that upper portion of the root zone to dry down, particularly if you've been top dressing with sand for the last few years. The moment that rainfall halts, We're fairly shallow rooting at the moment because we haven't really had the temperatures to get things moving. So it doesn't take much to dry down. And I put a whole blog together about that, and which is why it's important to get those wetting agents out early whilst the soil is still damp. Okay, so what else has been going on? Leather jackets. It's been a brutally tough month for those of you who are unfortunate enough to have high leather jacket pressure. We've seen some great results from Acelaprin, but it's also fair to say I've had some heartbreaking conversations too. The level of control we've seen with Acelaprin has been great in some areas of the country. In fact, all around the country, I've seen some real success stories. But particularly where it's mild and we've got leather jacket activity starting kind of December and running all the way through till March, the level of control we get from Acelaprin could really do with being a little bit longer. These are migratory pests. They're very capable of wandering around and reinfesting from areas of high infestation. So if you've got a lot of pressure outside your green, Acelaprin can do a great job of keeping that clean and tidy for you for a long period, but there's nothing stopping things wandering in from outside later in the year. And we've got work to do there. We've got to understand that much better. It's painful to see it when it happens, and we'll keep doing everything we can to help and support here. It's definitely a battle, and we'll do everything we can to help in this battle. It's really important to recognize, if you've got any golfers listening, this is a massive challenge. I did a survey a couple of months back. You can find it on the blog, where it became blindingly obvious to me that my desire to instantly solve people's problems was just way too ambitious. For some sites who've got really high pressure, this is a challenge. It's going to take a whole range of solutions and integrated turf management strategies to deal with it. We don't know what all of those are yet. We are still in a big learning curve about this problem. We've had some very effective, short-lived chemical that you could use regularly, but it wasn't the safest product in the world, and it's come off of the EU's Annex 1 list, which is where these products have to be registered in order to be used. And the future is going to look very different. It's going to involve much more cultural practices, more physical methods, biological and plant protection products. And I don't think we have a full grip on any of it yet. But please, if you're having problems, get in touch with me, glenn.kirby@syngenta.com. I'm really happy to work with you, offer advice. I want to learn from what you've been doing and understand what's working and what's not working, how long the control is, what we can do to get more. Because the more I learn all around the country from both the successes and less successful, the more I can do to work these programs and share the learning. Because we've got to get the level of control to a point that it's going to satisfy those golfers, those members, those people that you've just worked so hard for. Because they're all going to come back and be really grateful because they haven't played golf for a good period of time. But it's not going to take long before they start picking holes in some leather jacket damage in your greens if you've got them. I do think there's a big need here for improved communication with club memberships from a higher level. It's a growing problem. There's a lot of very conscientious and professional golf course managers out there struggling with this problem. And I'm sure they'd all appreciate some additional support from a higher level. One of the things I put together this month was a blog on leather jacket monitoring. So go onto the blog and take a little look at that. But there is some good news here. We're getting very close to spring hatch, where we're heading into week 13 as of right now. And last year we were seeing the spring hatch in week 17. Now, for those of you who aren't sure, there are two pests when we're talking about leather jackets and crane flies, the Paludosa and the Oleacea. Two different species, effectively. One has a 6-month life cycle, the other has a 12-month life cycle, and the 6-month life cycle hatches in the spring. So that means last year, week 17, in 2019, it was about week 19, we saw the peak, about 4 or 5 weeks away. It means a decent chunk of the population will hatch out of the ground and disappear. That pressure will reduce. It's highly likely at that time that will be coupled with some decent growing weather, and we'll move into recovery mode there. So don't forget to log those sightings for me, please, on Pest Tracker. The more information we get on Pest Tracker, which you can find on the Greencast website, the more we learn. Every contribution on there helps us unlock a bit more of this puzzle. We start to understand the temperatures that they hatch, the temperatures that they lay eggs. It was all going to help. There's a couple of other bits in the blog that you can read about. One of them is about Primo Max. I've got a lot of questions this month about when I should start with Primo Max. The answer is get started. If you're thinking about greens, just have a little think about, do you want to be suppressing growth on greens yet? I always think, for my money, suppressing growth on greens in the spring is probably not the way to go. There are other benefits of using Primo, additional root mass, increased carbohydrates. They're all some nice benefits to have, but I personally would keep them off greens. It's perfectly safe to do it in the spring. You will not see any damage. You will not see any harm. This is just me recommending it as a way of helping to get more out of it, helping to get you to get more out of your program. Now, if you do use it in the spring on your greens, I personally would recommend half rate. When we're using a growth regulator in the spring, we don't want to be super hard on greens. We don't want to knock them back. You just want to be tickling them in and gathering the kind of health benefits from Primo that you would be getting. Generally, I'd recommend waiting until you're into full and decent growth, and then you can get started. That's probably only a few weeks away for some of us. But I do know it's a practice that a lot of people do. So if you are comfortable doing that and you like it and it works for you, then go for it. Start at half rate. I would still use a 200 growth degree day model with a base temperature of zero as your spray window. And someone quite rightly challenged me on that and said, why should we be doing that when we're going at half rate? Well, the longevity isn't massively impacted by the rate. So whatever you put down is still going to last around 200 growth degree days. Now, if you get a really cool April, that 200 growth degree days will last longer. So you'll be getting more out of your Primo for around that month. Whereas if it's really warm, 200 growth degree days will probably disappear in about 2.5 to 3 weeks. So you could reapply at that time and you wouldn't get too much overlap of the two products. And that's the beauty of a growth degree day program, is you get this opportunity to overlap your programs really nicely and understand that you're not creating too much growth suppression and you're not letting it come out of growth suppression. So as far as Primo goes, there's a whole blog on there. Have a little look at it. But yeah, 200 growth degree day spray window. If you're using it on green, start early. If you're using it on fairways, tees, anything out there, go at your full rate, get started, stick 200 GDD on the Greencast GDD calculator and go from there. Now, the one last thing I'm going to mention is in this month, it was a really exciting one. We got to launch HiCure. HiCure was our first, Syngenta's first biostimulant, and it was really nice to launch it. It's an area that Syngenta are moving into. It's something we're moving into agriculture. There's a lot of research and study going on in this area, and it's really nice to be involved in a company where we fully research these type of products and really look at them. So again, go to this FAQ blog. There is a link on there to our YouTube channel where you can see me talking for about 40 minutes, I think, about biostimulants and amino acids and where they fit into your program. Dan does a really nice bit talking about why Syngenta are invested and what's going on there. So that only leaves me to say, enjoy April. Enjoy having some golfers back. I kind of perversely hope this is the last time you will ever see divotless tees. Whilst they are lovely to look at, they are not representative of a busy golf course. And I think we all need a busy golf course to give us some focus, give us something to aim for, and keep the tills rolling, which ultimately pays the mortgage. So I hope to catch up with you soon. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you on the next blog. Hope you enjoyed the podcast version of Greencast Advisory. For more content like this, check out the Greencast Advisory blog and don't forget to subscribe. Until next time, take care of yourself and thanks for listening.